Hey, everybody, welcome into the Sportscaster and her son. Happy New Year. This is where sports bridges the gap between the generations. I'm the co-host, Peggy Kaczynski, 12-time Emmy Award-winning sportscaster from ESPN Radio 1000 in Chicago. I'm the mom, I'm the sportscaster, and I'm the baby boomer.
And I am Jason Conander. I am a junior at the University of Texas at Austin. Now I'm an intern with Fox Sports, which I'm super excited about. I'm the son, future sportscaster, and Generation Z. Podcast's been a big part of everything, so I'm excited to keep it rolling.
85 episodes, Jason, and counting. Can you believe it? Who would have thought we would still be sitting here doing this podcast as you're getting ready to take on your internship at Fox Los Angeles, Fox Sports, and next year? You're going to be looking for a job in the real world.
Yeah, for all those listening, I'm going to hit the market in a year, so make sure to be ready to hire me. And I'm excited about the opportunity. I'm excited to keep the podcast going, and I love this industry. I love sports media, and I love being able to talk about sports. So cool to have that opportunity.
Okay, so this really wasn't the best of years for Chicago sports.
No, it's actually the worst year, probably the worst year in a really, really long time. I'm just going to cut you off right there. A team had any heart this year.
Oh, God, it was horrible. This was the tank season, right, for multiple teams in Chicago, the Cubs, the Blackhawks, the Bears, and two teams that did not live up to their expectations, the Bulls and the White Sox. I mean, it sucked.
Owned by the same person, too. Isn't that crazy?
Ooh, yikes. But there's hope, Jason. There's hope on the horizon. The Bears have the number one pick in the NFL draft, and they entered the 21st century by hiring Kevin Warren as the team's president and CEO. The first time they have gone outside of the organization since George Halas went to the war in 1942, and there was a guy named Ralph Brizolero.
Wow.
Who filled in for 3 years as acting president and GM. Otherwise, it was all general managers outside of Muggs Halas, the son, Michael McCaskey, the grandson, and then Ted Phillips. After 16 years as team comptroller, he was named the fourth team president in team history back in 1999, the first non-McCaskey. So this is really huge that Kevin Warren has been hired as the Bears' new president and CEO.
Yeah, I think it's an excellent hire. Finally, the Bears are with the times. I think that, like you said, they entered the 21st century both with this, and it's very much worth noting that now the Bears have a black president, general manager, and quarterback for the first time in team history, which I think is super cool. Now, on to Kevin Warren as a person. He accomplished a lot as a Big Ten commissioner, obviously added UCLA and USC to the conference, negotiated what is to this day the largest media rights deal in sports history, not professional, not just sports history, period, which is huge. The Big Ten's upcoming media deal with Fox, CBS, and ESPN. Kevin Warren is a football guy, first and foremost. I mean, that is music to the ears of every Bears fan. All the Bears fans have been asking for is a football guy calling the shots as president, and the Bears finally get that. Mom, I want to hear your thoughts on this. I think that really the only downside, we talked about this a couple days ago, really the only downside to this hire is how long is Kevin Warren going to be here?
That's the only thing, you know, on Peggy and Dion on ESPN 1000, we were talking about that. And I said, are you kidding me? If he can turn the Bears not only into a 21st century football organization, a championship organization that sustains winning, the sky's the limit. Let's be honest. He could go into politics if he wanted. Yeah. He could go into the commissioner's office if he wanted. It's, you know, I hope he stays for a long time because the Bears really need it. But you know what, Jason? Enough about what we think about Kevin Warren. I think we need to bring in someone who actually knows him pretty well. He was Warren's first client as a sports attorney, former Bears defensive tackle, Lombardi Award winner at Notre Dame, and CBS very own Chris Zorich is joining us. Hey, Chris.
Long time no see and year. Hello, Jason.
Hi, nice to see you.
I know, Chris, I can't believe it's been this long. Like, seriously, you and I both look like we could be grandparents at this point.
Oh, come on.
Seriously, Jason, right. I had you when I was much older, Jason.
That's not too much pressure, Jason. I don't know if you have kids or not, but that's the mom coming out, right?
Chris, stop. He's a junior in college. I don't need any grandchildren yet.
Hey.
Well, it's great to see
you. I want
to
mention the fact that you were able to name, like, all of the Chicago Bear presidents. even like before and after the war. That's impressive. You really did your homework.
Wait a second. I have been covering this team forever. It feels like when I left ESPN, I was actually telling Jason this. When I left ESPN in Bristol, Connecticut as an associate producer, one of the first stories that they sent me to Chicago to do with Andrea Kramer was with you. And it was when they were putting high school sports was on hold for something. This was back in the early 90s.
Wow.
And yes. And we interviewed you because we said, okay, he's from Chicago. He's going to have a really good opinion on all this. So I told Jason, I said, I feel like I've known you forever. I've carried about as many turkeys as you have over the years, covering all of your food drives.
Oh yeah. I absolutely remember those. And you know, it's just special because when you come from the city, that you are just so blessed to be drafted in to play a sport. Like, I felt as though I was living the dream of every kid in Chicago and every guy in Chicago as well.
Totally. So I'm not going to ask you, but everyone has heard the story about how Kevin Warren was an agent of yours. You were his first client. You guys met on the campus of Notre Dame. He was finishing up law school, et cetera, et cetera. What I want to ask you is let's fast forward because you guys have stayed friends and remained friends over the years. And he has gone from agent to team executive to Big Ten commissioner. And now the president and CEO of the Chicago Bears, how has he changed since you first met him and since you worked with him?
You know, it's so funny. And you ask a great question. I mean, you know, no one's really kind of talked about that. But what you saw a couple days ago at that podium, obviously a little older, wiser, maybe a couple more gray hairs. But that was the same person that I met when I was 21 or 22 and he was 27. I mean, that same type of passion. And he didn't have the nice expensive suit that he has now. He didn't have all these accolades at the time, but his heart came through when we talked. And he really looked at his clients. And I was very fortunate to be the first one. So I was kind of the guinea pig, so to speak. But I mean, he really cared about us as individuals. And I've said this really interesting story, and I think this kind of sums up who Kevin was and currently is. I would receive faxes on a weekly basis talking about the current events that were going on at the time. And the reason why he sent them was so I could have that as a reference when I go and talk to people at cocktail parties or non-Chicago Bear people in a community, to make them realize that, hey, I'm a person, or that I'm not just some dumb jock football player person, right?
Wow.
And so when, I mean, who does that, right? I mean, agents now would never do that, right? Or if they would, it would be their assistant
yeah.
that would maybe send a message. But you know damn well that that's not happening. And so when he cared about me as a person, as well as being an athlete or in his first client, I mean, I thought that was very special. And so to answer your question, the person I met when he was 27 is the same person that we all saw a couple days ago and talked about that passion and talked about things at that podium that I never heard before, right? I mean, as a president of any organization, it's maybe a sigh of relief to hear that not only are they normally have a family, but they're thinking beyond what their job description may be. I mean, he talked about taking a group from the Big Ten to Selma, Alabama, to experience part of history. And so he didn't have to do that. I mean, it wasn't like, hey, every month I'm going to take someone, every year I'll take someone kind of out of the norm. But the idea that he has that kind of in his arsenal, that he understands that this is a great job. He has a huge challenge ahead, but there's so much more he can do.
You know, I want to jump in for a second because that just reminded me, if Kevin Warren was that influential on you becoming an all-around person, it definitely came out because if I'm not mistaken, didn't you collect things from like vintage stores or garage sales?
You have a great memory.
That was segregation, right?
Yes.
Like whether it was the lawn jockeys, right?
Yes.
I thought so.
Wow, Peggy, talk about the going down memory lane. So yes. So for a long period of time, and we talked about it. I used to collect what was known as kind of black memorabilia,
yes.
Like slave artifacts, things from the 1920s, 30s. And so much so that Kareem Abdul-Jabbar wrote a book. And it was called, I forgot the name of it. It was about black history.
Okay.
And he highlighted, let's say like 15 folks on history. And so I was able to go to the publisher.
Black Profiles in Courage?
Yes. Thank you very much. It's called Black Profiles in Courage. And it was, it talked about these great figures in history. But I was able to take 100 seniors from my high school, and we were able to watch the movie Amistad. Mm-hmm. And then after that, I gave a talk about the movie and about slavery and about affirmative action and everything else. But that was like 500 years ago. So the fact that you remember that, that's so amazing. Oh my gosh.
I just, well, when you said that he was very, Kevin Warren was really wanted to make you and his clients, you know, all around people. That's the first thing that jumped out was that you were not just a jock. So
now that's so special. Now for Jason, for you, dude, you're in trouble, bro, because I can't imagine the things that she remembers that you did. And she's going to make you remember. Oh my God. Do you remember when you were 16? You put me through the...
You don't understand. It is like, in the nicest way possible, it is like walking around eggshells around here. Like, I will do something. I will forget to do something that my mom will ask me to do. And then 2 weeks later, she'll be like, you're always, you know, a couple days ago, I asked you to do this. And I'll be like, Mom, that was 2 weeks ago. But how do you remember that anyway? Like, so you're spot on with that.
Good luck on that one, man. Hey, man, I see her once every 20 years. Good luck with that.
All right, let's get on to Kevin Warren. Go ahead, Jason.
The biggest, like the most interesting connection that just pops to my head is, so Kevin Warren started, he was your agent when you were on the Chicago Bears. And the way that some people will view that is, you know, when you're the agent, you're sort of working against the team or you're negotiating with the team. And now he works for the team. So he's on the other side of that. And given the fact that this is the first time since World War II, as my mom mentioned, that the Bears have went outside the organization for somebody in this role, what makes Kevin Warren the right person to be that different voice, that different perspective, to change the way that things have been done in the Bears organization for so many years? Because, as I think that a lot of us can agree on, a lot of those things haven't been done correctly, as is evident with one Super Bowl.
Well, not only one Super Bowl, but you talk about kind of the attitude around House Hall, right? And, I mean, I obviously haven't been there in years, but you can see with the product on the field. Being a former athletic director, I realized that in order to have success on the field of the court, there's a whole bunch of people that are behind those 10, 11, 5 players that are out there, okay? And it's the support staff, it's the trainers, it's the administrators. And when you don't have a good group of administrators behind the organization, then guess what? The organization isn't going to be successful. And so you can see when you talk about them going outside of the family for the first time in a very long time, I'm not sure what the guy had in 1932, but Kevin has over 20 years of experience being with other teams. And I think even if I didn't know Kevin Warren, I'd be so jacked because this is the first time that they're going out and getting, like, even with coaches, right? Because you look at historically, outside of John Fox, probably since the 1930s, they've always hired assistant coaches.
Mm-hmm.
everybody, Dicka was assistant coach. I mean, everybody was an assistant coach. So what does that tell you? Is it, okay, well, we want to find those that up and coming person, or are you limited on the amount that you want to pay the head coach? That being said, this is the first time that they've had somebody who literally has a resume that's not only impressive, but has the experience that you need in order to be successful. So we all know his history with the Rams, Lions, and Vikings. But what folks might not know, and this is what I've kind of learned this from Kevin, but this is what's going to happen at Hallis Hall. He's going to be the first person to get there, probably maybe 5:30 in the morning, not sure what time. He'll be the first one, and he'll be the last one to leave, right? But he's also going to have a couple suits in his closet that in case he needs to spend the night there, that he'll just go in, closet, but clothes on, have that 7 o'clock meeting. And that's what type of person he is. I mean, he is a workaholic in the best positive way, right? I mean, he talked about, it's okay to talk about championships, right? The reason why people don't talk about championships is because if you say it out loud and people hear you, guess what? Now you're held accountable.
Right.
Oh, you said you want to win. Oh, you want to win championships. Oh. And again, I don't work at Hallis Hall, I have no idea. I don't know if that conversation, if that topic has ever been discussed in the hallways. And so what he brings to this organization, not only new life, right, but a ton of experience. And I think every former player for the Bears who were watching that press conference got a little excited, because when he talked about the folks that he wants to embrace, he talked about the people at Hallis Hall, he talked about the players, he talked about the fans, and he talked about the alumni. He said the word alumni like six or seven times. Like, who does that, right? The person who does that is someone who knows. He's been from organization to organization to organization and understands how important the alumni are to your organization. Again, I mean, we're not going to talk X's and O's, but knowing that an organization treats their alumni well will make the current players proud and excited about being part of that team, because they know when they get cut or when they retire, they'll be welcome back. And although it has improved for the Bears, that always hasn't been the case.
You sort of jumped the gun a little bit on my next question. You're a former Bears player, and Kevin Warren's a former agent, and he's worked for organizations, but he's never played for the Bears. He's never been inside Hallis Hall as a part of the organization. As somebody that has, have you had any conversations with him about that, giving him advice? And if not, what would that advice be that you would give him from the perspective of a former player?
You had to tip him off about the alumni. I was like,
I'm telling you, not at all. Not at all.
Wow.
I mean, he was in also, and Jason, I'll get to your question in a second. The media folks that were in that room, I talked to a couple after, they were actually kind of excited. Now, I've been around the Chicago media for like 30 years, right? I mean, and they're cynical as hell, okay? And to get folks like that a little pumped up, like, I was kind of impressed, you know? And then a couple people were saying he had addressed me by my name. Like, I would say, hey, Chris Zorch, Chicago Tribune, ask my question. He'd say, well, Chris, and again, I don't know, I haven't been in a lot of press conferences, but apparently that wasn't the norm, let's say. So although I didn't tell him any secrets about the organization, as a matter of fact, when I heard that his name was kind of being bound, and I don't have any privy information or anything like that, but when I heard his name was kind of in the mix, I kind of shook my head and was like, wow. I mean, going from the Big Ten to the presidency of the Chicago Bears, is that a step down? Is that a lateral step? I mean, when you look at what he was able to accomplish at the Big Ten, I mean, a media rights deal worth $8 billion? Who did that? I mean, now they have a West Coast presence by getting USC and UCLA. I mean, that was amazing. And so I don't think the Bears understand truly who they got. I mean, not only is he a rock star, but like he will make everyone around him not only excited to kind of work for the Bears, but become better people. And at the end of the day, regardless of what profession any of us are in, we want to have a good leader that respects us as employees, but he's going to make them better people. And so it's a win-win for everyone at Halasong.
I've heard, Chris, people describe him as being, you know, no nonsense. He's all business, does not care what anyone thinks outside of his, you know, four walls of his office. But in the past, how many years since Ted Phillips, 1999, so the last 23 years, the stress just, you could see it on Ted Phillips' face every day. He took a beating in public and through the media. It was just misstep after misstep after misstep publicly. Not that I'm sure he was very good at his job outside of not putting a winning team on the field, but it really showed on his face. Do you think Kevin Warren can handle the bright lights of the big city, which includes a huge fan base that is very boisterous, media, like you said, that is very cynical. It can get ugly real quick.
I think you're absolutely right, but I think a lot of that stress that was caused for Ted may have been his inexperience to be the president of a football team, okay? And so Kevin has 20 years. Not only that, but then he worked on the opposite side. So he knows these players. He's represented players against the man, the establishment, right? Now he's become part of that establishment and understands kind of where these players are coming from, but understands how they fit within that organization. And if it was the Rams, if it was the Lions, or if it was the Vikings, I mean, at the end of the day, although I love being a Chicago fan, they all have, I mean, all these crazy, I mean, look at the poor Buffalo fans. They're jumping on freaking tables, right? I mean, so we all have these rabid, crazy fans. So Kevin has done this. He's seen those bright lights. But more importantly, he puts more pressure on himself than any media person, than any fan, than any critic may have about what he's done. And again, another perfect example that he talked about was, why can't several stations carry Big Ten football? Well, it's never been done before. Okay, well, why not? Well, all of a sudden that equated to four or five stations and $8 billion that's going to go to the Big Ten. And so, yes, he's done things that are out of the box, but that's who you want as a leader, right? I mean, at the end of the day, even if you fail, guess what? He tried. And I think that's really kind of what that learning experience is if you talk to anyone who's successful, they failed 100 times, but it was that 101 time that they kept going that they realized that they had success.
I was very impressed when he said that one of the first things he will do is ask every single employee to write down what they would do. If they were to be in charge of the team, what would they change either about their job or about the team to make them more successful? And you mentioned the alumni. Well, I got to tell you, I was very impressed when I met Coach Fluse last year that he had golf with Gary Fensick and Richard Dent, Dan Hampton. He wanted to get to know. He wanted to know, what are we missing here? What's going on here? Because I mean, I was stunned that they had not invited Hall of Famers to come and talk to the team. When I was covering the team, Lovie Smith would just roll his eyes and get so frustrated anytime anyone brought up the 85 Bears. He got very, very frustrated by it. And as much as the McCaskey families and Brian has really tried to bring the alumni back, mm-hmm. there's a difference between having them come out on the field and, you know, be recognized mm-hmm. once a year and actually having them come into an offensive line meeting and tell them, you know, this is what I know. This is what put me in the Hall of Fame. Sure, it might have been 30 years ago, but some things don't change, you know. And I was a little surprised with that. So I'm excited to hear that Kevin Warren truly is reaching out to not just alumni, but even people that are working at Hallis Hall. It could be a secretary. I think that's fantastic.
You know, and that's what's special about a leader. And obviously, we're talking about Kevin, but when I became the athletic director of Chicago State, the first thing I did was I met with everybody. And exact same thing. How can we make Chicago State better? I mean, that's what leaders do when they come in. They don't come in, box themselves in their own little silo and say, this is what's going on. He or she must do this. He or she must do that. You have to go on a listening tour to understand where the problems are. And, oh, by the way, it takes a great leader to do that and say, you know what? I want to learn from what was going on. I want to learn from maybe the mistakes from the person I'm replacing, or how can I make this better? And at the end of the day, if your idea is great and you happen to be the maintenance person, guess what? He's going to implement it. Mm-hmm. And he's going to give you the credit. He's not going to say, oh, well, I think it was better that the entrance for the team should have came in this way. And the grounds guy is like, man, that was my idea. He's going to say, you know, hey, Charlie Jones over there had this great idea thinking that the players should come in this way. I mean, but that's the type of leader that he is. And that's really what we all want.
The timing of this is huge because you have the new stadium, possible new stadium, first overall pick, Justin Fields as quarterback. So Kevin Warren is no stranger to making big decisions. But how, while he made those big decisions seemingly correctly in the Big Ten, I mean, the jury, the verdict will be out once USC and UCLA join. The media deal is objectively great, in my opinion. But how do Bears fans know that even though Kevin Warren has made these decisions or made decisions of this kind of magnitude before, how do Bears fans trust and be assured that he's going to make the right decisions? Because the decisions that he's going to make are going to steer the direction of the franchise, and the Chicago Bears franchise 10 years from right now is going to look way different than it does now, which hasn't really been able to be said for any 10-year stretch in team history.
Sure. And Jason, we don't necessarily know the answers to those questions, but I can tell you that he's going to do enough research. When someone asks him the question about, well, what do you think the time frame is on Arlington Park? He's like, well, one, I would have to do my own research and I can get back to you in 6 months. And then he talked about how when they were planning US Bank Stadium, they took a year to make sure that everything was in place. So this is an individual that obviously has a law school background, who's a lawyer, and oftentimes half the bill that you have to pay for a lawyer is research, right? And so the idea that the decisions he makes aren't going to be spur of the moment, sporadic decisions. There's going to be a lot of thinking that goes into that. Now, again, I'm not saying that he can't think on his feet, but the idea that you're already seeing when he's answering questions about various topics, he's saying, hey, you know, either I don't know yet, or I'll find out, or I'll get back to you. And so what the fans could kind of take from that is, here's a person who's willing to say, hey, I don't know, I'm going to get back to you, I'm going to find out. And like you're saying, this is not going to happen overnight. I mean, he starts in April, you have the draft during that time, and oh, guess what? He has to meet his staff. So there's going to be kind of a long process here. All we can say is that from what we heard at the press conference, and really all we can believe is what he said, until we're actually able to kind of see certain moves or things that he's going to be able to accomplish in a short period of time.
And even though you said you haven't been to Hallis Hall in a while, I mean, you grew up a Bears fan and you played for the team, so you have a lot more perspective and context than most do on the organization. What would you say is the number one thing, the most important thing that Kevin Warren has to do differently than those who have been in his role in years past with the Bears?
Well, I think he's already done that. And this is no offense to Ted Phillips, but as you mentioned, Peggy, he He went from a controller to the president of a national football club.
Yeah.
That doesn't happen a lot.
No.
Not sure you want that to happen, but the fact that you've hired someone that has over 20 years of experience in that field, now he's part of your organization, that's what you want. And so the idea that he has this experience and he's willing to say, you know what, I'm sure he left a great financial situation at the Big Ten. Yeah. And I'm sure he's not going to be anywhere near what's going on. He's paying for the Bears, but there was a reason. And he gave that reason. He said, you know what? My dad taught me leave your job better than it was when you got there. And guess what? He felt that he was able to do what he did to make that success. And I think what's interesting is that he said, now I have a chance to let somebody else's dream be fulfilled. If somebody else wants to be the commissioner of the Big Ten, he's giving them that opportunity. And I thought that was kind of a great comment, considering people were all up in arms that he left.
Listen, I have no doubt that he is going to increase the value of the Chicago Bears franchise, which is already incredibly valuable right now. But by building the new stadium and everything, he is going to bring in a lot of money, and he will need to do that in order to get rid of the cheap label that the McCaskies keep getting.
I know they right? wanted to be cheap with me and they cut my salary in half. I know all that. Oh yeah,
exactly. So let me ask you this, and you don't get to say the old interview trick of he's a workaholic. Have you seen him fail, and what is he not good at besides golf? We know that he doesn't golf.
He is a workaholic. No. Well, that again could be a negative or a positive, right?
I know.
Exactly. But I think what he's not good at is separating kind of the work side from the personal side, right? Mm-hmm. Because he took for me when I was his only client, I mean, he was here every game. When I would have my food drives, I mean, he was here all the time, and I'm sure he had, I mean, he was married at the time, so I mean, he had other responsibilities, and I was going to be okay if I didn't see him after a game. You know, I mean, I'm a grown-ass man, right? I mean, so the idea, he didn't need to be there, but he was. And at these food drives, in the beginning, like in 1992, I mean, I still had the foundation. It wasn't that organized, so I would go to Jewel and purchase a whole bunch of food, and me and Kevin and three of my high school buddies would get in the truck and we were passing food around. Kevin did not have to be there for that, but he was. And so I think his biggest kind of fault, if he has one, right, is that it's hard for him to kind of separate the business side from the personal side. And again, you can kind of spin that to be positive as well, but I think that now that he has family, he has kids, I mean, he obviously wants to see them succeed and be with them as well. So he may not spend all that time at House Hall, as I talked about earlier, but you will definitely see a difference. And he's not the type of person, if anybody's listening that works at House Hall, he's not the type of person that's going to count and see whose car is there because he doesn't have time for that. Mm-hmm. I mean, he's busy making sure that this program is going to be successful. He doesn't have to. If you do your job and you do it so well that you may only have to work 4 hours a day, guess what? I'm sure he's going to be fine with that as long as you're producing what you're supposed to be doing. So it's not that he is a micromanager. He's just the opposite. If he has confidence in you that you can do your job, he's going to let you do it. And if you make a mistake, guess what? That's okay. You learn from that. Now, if you start making two and three, then obviously it becomes an issue. But the idea that this person is all in and he has experience in it, and again, I'm a little partial because he's my friend, but even if he wasn't, even if the name wasn't Kevin Warren, and this person had this type of resume, I would be all for this hire.
Well, I know what we should do. I think we need to talk him and Ryan Poles. There's a new bedroom at Hallis Hall, which is for Ryan Poles or Matt Eberflus, whoever is there too late and they need to sleep there. And it sounds like Kevin Warren's going to. I think we do the podcast as a sleepover. at Hallis.
That'd be awesome.
Wow.
That would be awesome. We will make sure you are invited as well.
There you go. You do it like 4 a.m. or something.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. And then we'll really get some even better stuff. But Chris, you're the best. Thank you so much for picking up the phone and agreeing to come on with us and talk about Kevin Warren.
Thank you guys.
It's exciting. It's exciting for those of us who cover the team. It's exciting for Bears fans like you. It's exciting for former players and friends as well. So a new era has arrived for the Chicago Bears. God bless America.
It has been a long time coming, and I'm sure folks are just above them, just so elated about seeing a change and the type of change that normal football programs, football organizations have.
Exactly.
They hire people with experience in that field. I think that's amazing.
I know. Thank you, Chris. Be well, okay?
You got it. Thank you, guys. Jason, was nice meeting you, man.
Nice to meet you as well. Thank you for coming on.
You got it. Thanks for having me.
Chris Zorch is the best, man. I mean, I can't believe the stuff that I just started. It just like started coming back to me about and the food drives. I mean, Jason, you don't know this.
Mom, you had a Barbara Walters moment during that interview. You pulled something out of your memory that he didn't even remember until you brought it up.
I know, but I did not ask him, you know, what kind of tree would Kevin Warren be if he were a tree? And I did not get Chris Zorch to cry over his buddy, Kevin Warren. But super great insight on the new Bears CEO. So, okay, listen, it's a new season on the Sportscaster and her son. So let's get some predictions out of you.
Oh, my goodness. I have been waiting for this. And, you know, a lot has happened in Chicago sports. You know what's crazy, Mom? You know what's absolutely crazy? In the time in between our last two shows, which has been longer, you know, than this should have been, but that's besides the point, the Bears didn't win a game.
Right.
That's it, which is incredible.
October 24th.
October
2022 was their last win.
Was that
no wins in November? Yes, New England. No wins in November, no wins in December, no wins in January, first 2 weeks of January.
When was the last time they won a game in January anyway? Like,
yeah, well, it's always in Minnesota and it typically doesn't happen. So anyways, what's your predictions?
Okay, we have three predictions and they're all Chicago sports based. My first prediction is regarding the Chicago Bulls. I think Billy Donovan's gone, and as he should be, but that's not even the prediction. I think that the Bulls are going to rebuild again after the season, which as sad as it is, I mean, like the Bulls had a good like 2 months last year, which was super fun. It was like sort of that end of November until like towards the end of January where they had all those come from behind wins and everyone's like, oh my gosh, are the Bulls back? And since then, they've done literally nothing. I mean, everyone's either been hurt or super inefficient. Billy Donovan's lost the locker room. I'm not even sure he had it in the first place. Bulls are going to rebuild. They're going to accumulate some draft picks and they're going to start losing more games like they should. They actually don't have their first rounder this year, most likely because it's lottery protected Orlando. Besides the point, Bulls suck. They're going to rebuild again. Billy Donovan's gone. Prediction number one.
Okay, number two.
Prediction number two. So I have been pessimistic about the Cubs in the past a lot, which is fine. I actually really liked some of their offseason moves. I came around on them. I wasn't like huge on the Dansby Swanson move because it was like, if you had all that money to spend, why didn't you just spend it on Xander Bogaerts or Trey Turner? But I actually think the Cubs are going to make the playoffs next year, which is crazy to say out loud. But I think that the division stinks. I think that the Reds and Pirates still aren't trying to win. I think the Cardinals are aging. They had sort of a flash in the pan season. Yadi Molina, Albert Pujols, and Adam Wainwright, two of the three are retired now, but that was how the Cardinals won last year. That's not going to happen again this year. I have the Cubs winning the division. Mark my words, the Cubs are going to win the National League Central 2023.
Ooh, prediction number three as we begin the new year.
Prediction number three, I am going to go against the grain here. And the predictions regarding the Bears, number one pick, I'm going to say that they're actually going to make the pick.
Ooh.
Because there are just too many people that are assuming that they're going to trade the pick. There are too many, like, it was sort of when the Bears got the first overall pick, it was like, all right, like, now who are they going to trade it to? And that alone devalues it, you know, because it kind of takes the leverage out of the Bears' hands, which is also part of why we haven't heard anything, also because the draft is in a couple months, but we haven't, and I don't think we will hear anything until or unless they actually send in a trade for the draft picks. I don't think the Bears are going to play their hand. You mentioned in a conversation we had about a week ago, you thought Ryan Poles played his hand a little bit with the quarterback comment. I think he played his hand in the fact that they're going to be drafting. They're going to draft defense. Mm-hmm. And I think that that player is going to be Will Anderson. I think that Will Anderson, people forget this is a cannot pass up player. The Bears have draft picks. I don't think this is a draft where you need to accumulate all these picks. And I think that the Bears are going to be focused on winning. So I think they're going to make that number one pick. Longer prediction segment, because it's been a while, Mom.
And well, and the other thing with that, with them keeping the number one pick, is there are a handful, at least three quarterbacks that are really good. So any of those top five teams that need a quarterback, top six teams, they might be happy with any three of them.
Right. And one more thing.
And again, that devalues the need for, if there was only one, then everyone would be, you know, clamoring to try to trade up.
And I mean, rest assured, we will have at least an episode on this, mostly, almost definitely several on this topic. But I do think that the other issue is, you said that there are three good quarterbacks, but there's not a single great quarterback. There's not one, you know, it's not like last year's draft where there isn't a first round prospect, period. But it's not sort of the Justin Fields, Zach Wilson, Trevor Lawrence, where any one of those guys, you know, you can just pick any of them and they're going to be great. Which hasn't even happened, but
no.
That is not the quarterback class. That is not the top of the draft. The best player is Will Anderson or Jalen Carter, and the Bears can pick him, and I think they will.
All right. No final thoughts for me. We went long with Chris Zorich. It was great to have him on for our first episode for the new year, for the new season, season four here on the Sportscaster and Her Son. Don't forget that you can follow us on YouTube. We have a YouTube page with the video of our interviews. Each episode is on video. You can check that out. And the Sportscaster and Her Son, also under my name, Peggy Kaczynski. Follow us on Twitter. We do have a Twitter handle at TSA. AHS, the Sportscaster and Her Son Pod, POD. That's us on Twitter. Yep. You can also follow Jason at Jason Conander or me at Peggy Kaczynski as well. And don't forget to tune in to ESPN 1000 or check us out on the ESPN Chicago app. That's going to do it, right?
Here's my final thought, actually. Let me give you a little round of applause for your first Bears season covered back as a member of the media since what, 2016?
Yeah.
So first time in six seasons. They didn't win many games for you this year, Mom,
but it was a tough season.
Cool seeing you back, and you did a great job. You worked hard, and it's nice. We can have these conversations and not like, oh, you know, what's going on? Like, no, you're fully in the loop. So it's cool. I love it.
Our thanks to Chris Zorich for joining us. You can follow him on Twitter as well. Thank you to Jake Cantu, our producer on the ESPN Chicago app. And Jason, if people like this episode, what can they do?
If you like this episode, you can like, rate, and subscribe. We very much appreciate if you do that. Actually, the cool thing that you should definitely do if you're listening right now, if you're not listening on the ESPN 1000 app, go on Spotify, subscribe if you haven't already, and then rate 5 stars. You need to listen to a couple episodes before you can rate, so I'm assuming that all of you have, but make sure you do that because that really helps us out the algorithm. That way we get recommended and you might, you know, one day see our show on Spotify if you don't follow us, if enough people do that. So yeah,
love it. Thank you, everyone. Thank you for joining us. That's it for this episode. I'm the Sportscaster and Her Son. Thank you, everyone. So long.